Ion's back. Ion, have you heard us say you are discussing science in too broad of a way? You're pissed off at the talkers, and you're saying everybody's creating. You're all for that. There are engineers creating stuff. Do you have a way to rebut what I'm just saying without getting garbled and abstracting again?
Yes. Creation does not require science in any form.
What is science in any form? Is that a talker?
Well, one who is promoting hypotheses.
You would not recommend parents send their kids to university to be subjected to these talkers and hypothesizers?
If they go to university, if they're immature and they go to university, or if they're not the top of the gene pool and they need help with their coitus, then by all means, they should go to educations of higher fucking.
Would you admit that that's an overly generalized statement? It's not true in the specific circumstances of every human being who goes to university.
No, people like to have sex. They do. They really do.
But in terms of any deriving any other benefits from going to a university, you're saying that
They are allowed to be an adult without any responsibility until they learn how to be an adult on their own with responsibility. It's like a step down. It's just ease in their way into it. They can make a mistake. They can get tangled up. They can get over it. And then they come back and go, okay. It's like the step process of coming from their parents into a real live world. And if they engage the fastest path to their joy, and if that includes them listening to someone talk about how not to do something, and that encourages them and helps them in that process, okay. We have no problem going to college. We have no problem going to class. And if you really dig listening to the ridiculous idiots who can't do it in life so they teach it, okay. But you can't for one millimeter of a second say that those people are more well-rounded, they're more wealthy, they're more anything other than lucky, maybe, because they got laid. But it does not move them to any type of gene pool superiority.
I think a lot of people would agree with you, and I agree with you. Fuck teachers. Even McLuhan said back in the 60s, just allow the kids to run around and bullshit at university. Don't listen to any courses. So I agree with that. But it's interesting how society is here in America so dedicated to keep that institutional talking going. And I got theories like that's literacy, it's such an important medium, and blah, blah, blah. But it is being canceled by the YouTube, 2.0.
There's too many words, Bob. The people who are going to university are the same ones now that aren't smart enough to convince McDonald's to pay them $15 an hour to fit their hamburgers.
Some countries where manufacturing has moved to out of the United States are introducing apprenticeship programs where they're bringing people in and teaching them technical skills that will earn them a good living.
If they want to do that, that is fabulous. We say don't earn a good living. We say live a life. Find something that you love to do and you'll never work another day in your life. And we say no school is necessary. The one of hard knocks is delicious. Mix it up. It's contract.
Right. So, Ion, if you get the RNA drops and later the bread of life and the living water, that'll give you so much nutrition you won't need that much money to survive on.
When you have that in process, you won't need money at all. You'd already have it.
If you can get the bread, get enough money to pay the $100 you owe us for it, then, yeah, you're okay. You don't need much money.
With intention, it's not much. See, if you make it be about the money, it may not be enough. Bobby, you're the poster child for that. Or you want to be, maybe one day you'll be the poster child for that. Maybe. If you've applied, we'll consider your application. But the poster child of don't care. You don't even know what money is. You're sitting here preaching like, well, we'll go first. And you don't even know how much the goddamn ice cream that you eat costs. You take $20 and you lay it on the counter and there'll be
right.
People all over the place and then you're next. Your ticket number 478, you lay $20 on that counter, and they hand you a little bucket of ice cream.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
And I take the paper I put the paper in my wallet, and any coinage I throw in the fucking bucket there for welfare or whatever it's for. So I do not know exactly what the price of the ice cream is.
That's the Bob half. I'll bet Carolyn knows the value of a dollar.
Get that out of your fucking head, Scott. I have way more money than Carol. You know my reasoning. I've told you before. I stole a lot of money.
I didn't say you have more money. I would say that you have. You probably do have less of a conception of it.
No, Carolyn doesn't have much conception. She goes and buys what she wants, and she doesn't even care what it costs. She doesn't pay attention to it. She goes by what she wants. She sees something, she buys it. So I don't think she's that practical on that level.
So you have accountants to help you with that stuff.
Yes, so we have an accountant.
They don't need accountants, though. When you don't need money, you have money to do what you want to do. That's the point.
Yeah.
And Bob doesn't shake a stick at a snake. I mean, he doesn't do anything except wash his goddamn hands. That's all he does. He does nothing else. And if you come around, he'll make sure you wash your hands.
You're fucking right. You wash your hands when you come into my place.
But after that, you know,
it's on the phone talking to everybody.
He may or may not procure a library today, but he'll do what he can.
A library? What's that?
A library.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The wordy words on the books, they go there, and they bind it together, and then they put them in boxes and give them to Goodwill, and then someone collects them, and then they sit somewhere, and then later Bob buys them at a great price.
And then I don't read them.
And then he doesn't read them. No, never.
Yeah, I do read some of them. I think I'm on a point here, Ian. You're using the word science too broadly, and you should read who you object to. You've defined it now. Those guys that the students have to listen to. Yes, we agree. They're idiots, and they shouldn't even be called scientists.
No, we won't change our words. It's all science. Dear scientists, we say the only thing you do is try to disprove what it is.
Bob, let me say this. Science itself uses science broadly to say that science proves this or doesn't prove that. Medicine uses science all the time. You have no idea how patients think, well, this drug is scientifically proven, isn't it? The FDA proves it. They don't.
Yeah.
So science
and that's exactly my argument about there's a difference between science and scientists and Big Pharma and a whole lot of other corporations that use science as a club.
I agree.
Carolyn, it's natural you would have a skewed view of science based on.
I don't have a skewed view. I have an honest, reality-based view. God, Norris.
She'll put you on mute. You better be careful.
Let Scott speak. Okay,
Carolyn, you're working within the medical framework, the corruption of Big Pharma. Bill's working from the point of view of an engineer who's got boots on the ground, practical problems to solve. It's a different situation.
Carolyn does practical problems.
You have
practical problems to solve.
Yeah, I mean,
all you deal with is practical problems.
Yeah, I mean, when someone calls me up and says, well, they just put me in the hospital, they won't let me take my magnesium, and they're going to be giving me a drug with 12 fluoride molecules, which will kill any remaining magnesium I have, that's pretty damn practical.
Yeah,
I have to get that person out of the hospital before they kill them.
The environment is the medical environment. I'm not sure that's a good model for what.
Okay, then they contact us. Then they contact us and they say, Ion, some other body part of mine just fell off. And we say, then give intention and it'll grow back. And they say, okay, and it does. And if they go seek science says, no, I'm sorry, it can't grow back. No. We've tested it. We've looked at everybody. We've looked at all the ones that was and every one that ever was. We throw them off the goddamn building, and it didn't grow back. So if you think your building's going to hold up when no one else's building's hold up, well, that's just a scientific anomaly now, isn't it? So you be
happy. Who are you talking about? Who on this phone line or listening to this show right now knows someone who got a limb lopped off and it grew back? Who are you talking about?
Can you cite anybody, Ion?
We can't say because we have privacy issues.
Of course.
You want to? We don't mind. We've been at it before.
I know a couple people that it has happened, Scott, and other stuff that happens is pretty equally miraculous. I mean, we've raised people from the dead. There's one that you probably are pretty skeptical of.
Lazarus, the Lazarus Project.
Yeah, we've done that. These are people, Ionettes, who don't know fuck all, then decided they could do it and did it when it came into their lives that they had to do it, and they did it.
You're telling me rigor mortis had set in?
Three fucking times.
It actually did. And the hospital documented it. That's the hooter. The hospital actually documented it. They got three certificates of live death.
Now, Ion explained to the person how they did it.
Did this require the cooperation of the person who had died, or did you do it for them?
Did it inside of them. They wanted to go.
What does that say about their marvelous human creator power that they had no say in the matter?
It wasn't about them. It wasn't about them. It was about the human creator that pulled them back from life.
Yeah, they were pissed off that they got brought back. They did it three times. The guy kept killing himself after she did it.
He's happy now.
Oh, delighted now.
Somehow Ion's words inspired this person to think that they could do it, and they did it. But I don't know what was involved, you know, the diminishing of oxygen in the planet or something. If you're honest, we cannot understand, Ion. The mind can't understand the processes that we're involved in.
Somebody had the capacity to allow beyond what the average human being could conceptualize or allow.
That sounds nice words, but
actually it raises a question for me. We talk about the labyrinth of the mind getting in the way of your being able to create
whatever it is. Inhibits your ability to be, do, or have.
Is there a deeper aspect of the mind that is not part of the labyrinth of the mind?
Hypothalamus
actually allows. So it's got nothing to do with the mind at all, whatever the aspect.
No, he just said the hypothalamus. I don't know if that's considered part of the mind, but he answered your question by saying the hypothalamus does it.
It's not part of the mind.
Why did you say it? Because the question is, what part of the mind? Is there a deeper part? Is the hypothalamus a deeper part of the mind?
It's the base of it, the cerebral cortex.
But you just said it's not part of the mind. Scott's asking, is there a deeper part of the mind, and you said hypothalamus.
Yeah.
See, even there, we can't determine exactly what I am saying. He's saying it's not part of the mind, but it is part of the mind.
Well, it's not the mind. See, the mind doesn't even think. You keep thinking the mind thinks.
Why did you say hypothalamus?
It controls the autonomic responses of the human body. The autonomic response of the human body.
Right, but that's not... I'll ask a question again. Is there a part deeper in the mind, above the surface mind, that does something in the healing or whatever process?
No.
So you shouldn't have said hypothalamus. Now it's another issue. We now know, Scott, where it is happening in the hypothalamus.
This is autonomic, so there's no choice involved. It's got nothing to do with a human creator making a choice. It's just sort of an autonomic thing.
I think that choice is always involved. Ion says we create our things, and that involves choice.
You create the ability to have a choice if you don't have to have science to do it for you. If you need science to say you have a choice, you're fucked, so no.
So you're saying that there is choice involved in the autonomic, Ion?
The contrast is choice. I'm hot, warm me up. I'm cold, cool me off, sweat. That's autonomic. It is a response to a condition, and it's changing, ever-changing.
That's 3, 2, 1. 3 and 2 are sort of autonomic, and 1 is the choice coming in as a response to what the autonomic did.
But for a breeze to blow on you and you to have a shiver, you don't have to think about.
So the autonomic happens faster than the speed of light. All our particular analysis in Neutrino, it happens, it already happened, it's recorded, is the autonomic.
Sometimes we'd say it's in your history and you're just catching up to your past.
The autonomic includes all the things that's before time. It's you already did it. All that is in the realm of the autonomic.
What part of the brain functions to create the sense of self-awareness?
Frontal lobe, short-term memory.
And that flips on top of the autonomic?
That doesn't make any sense.
Does it have decision-making capacity with respect to the autonomic?
No, it only remembers.
So there's no self-awareness involved?
No. Frontal lobe doesn't feel.
God.
Feel if you touch the toe.
So what we call ion being human, our capacity to think and talk, is just memory, and computers can do memory better than us. That's why the computers are smarter than humans, because they're dealing with memory more efficiently.
As a god, your memory is better stored in the cloud with us.
So that's what the mind is, memory.
I heard a talk recently about someone who was distinguishing between the experiencing self and the remembering self. And the remembering self is the part that brings the story of the self along with it from the past and projects a future based on that story. And the experiencing self doesn't really have a lot to do with memory.
Sounds like experiencing is autonomic, Scott.
Sounds like Eckhart Tolle had a bad bout of flatulence.
No, it's a good point you're making, Scott, but it sounds like the whole memory thing is that's the surface fluff. Your experiencing is relaxing now is the autonomic factor.
Well, say that again, Bob.
The memory part is not as important as the experiencing part the guy laid out. That's all autonomic. It's how I live. I don't fucking think when I live. It's all being done for me. It's all autonomic. I think I would agree that's what I'm pretty good at, being autonomic.
So we learn to train the memory part to do the relaxing and allowing so that the autonomic can function.
No,
you wouldn't do that.
That's the trouble. No, you don't do that. Don't even go with it. Go with what you call a based driven life. I'm horny. I want to fuck. Go fuck. I'm hungry. I want food. What kind? The autonomic
That evokes the thought that you could enter into reckless behavior, which could land you in all kinds of
fucking problems. Isn't reckless?
If you're just motivated by the desire to fuck and have no sense of consequences in terms of whether or not
that's
you're
all everything is no sense of consequences. When you have the consequences, that's that rationally navigating why you shouldn't do something. And so leave all that to the scientist. They'll solve it for you.
Freud talked about the id. You're saying just let the id do what it wants.
So did Eckhart Tolle. It didn't go well.
I'm not familiar with him other than the fact that he seems kind of blissed out, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right. Good. We agree.
They're all schizoids. They don't know what they are. They don't know difference between themselves and thoughts and words and feelings. They don't know nothing.
Who doesn't know?
Many so-called experts, many gurus, teachers, they're all mind-fucking you.
All that's being said here is that you do those things that you have placed a value judgment on, okay? The moving of one's bowels might also be prolifically inane, but yet you do that, you see. Well, you know, that's just a biological function. Well, so is breathing. So is, or you might say, thinking, but we're against thinking. It's not a thinking man's game. It's only when you have to add a value judgment to it, that's when we start having issue with it. When it's an autonomic response, science completely left out of the picture, we're happy as a pig in shit.
I remember you did a talk on the whales, because Carolyn and Bob were seeing the whales and asked you about the whales. And you talked about a whale having an orgasm. But didn't really put any value on it at all. It was an orgasmic biological function.
Reflex.
Yeah. It sounded like the whale enjoys it, but the whale doesn't think about it or savor it or look for it or not look for it. It just does it when it does it.
It's a natural response, yes. And you do too, except you pine when you don't have it. And when you have it, you don't want it because you have it. And when you don't have it, you do want it, and you're sad that you don't. And then before long, you turn into an autosexual, and there you go.
Well, that's the complication of the remembering self.
Get the right lobotomy, and you won't even have that trouble anymore.
If you damage the right places of the brain, you might be happier as a result.
Well, you certainly will take away the receptors that say, I'm not happy. Not true happiness, but you don't know you're unhappy. Now see, as far as your mind goes, your mind isn't thinking, it's just processing choices. That's all it is. So if you eliminate the choice, if you can't turn right, right's not in the equation. But if you're sitting in pain forever of how you're never able to turn right, or you finally conclude that three left indeed are right, but you're one block back.
So the idea that we think it all is a false premise.
That's great. That's where you fail. That's the fall of man. God doesn't think he knows. God knows. God doesn't. Well, what does God think? God don't think. God knows.
So one of the benefits of the RNA drops is that it enhances the autonomic and alleviates the so-called thinking.
It doesn't alleviate thinking. That's up to you. You get to decide how that works. But it certainly hones your body's natural ability to make reparations to itself.
If a person doesn't change their thinking while they're taking the RNA drops, whether they're benefiting from it or not, they may not notice that they are or don't think that they are.
A lot of people don't notice it, but the next thing you know, they go to the doctor and things they had wrong with them no longer are wrong with them.
I haven't experienced that, and I've taken the drops for some time.
What have the drops done to Scott that he's probably not aware of?
He had a slight hiatal hernia that's been repaired.
You say something like that, and I either accept it on your authority.
We have no authority. We have power. There's a difference.
Yeah.
If you need to work that out, you go get a sonogram and let them do a sonogram on that area, and it'll show your hiatal hernia, and it's repaired.
I had a sonogram about 3 days ago in that area, in the bladder area, and they didn't.
But it's
never
in the bladder. It's connected to your esophagus. It's a third piece apart.
Is there anything I can know for myself?
No, nothing you can know.
Discovery.
The problem is with discovery. See, through discovery, that's the scientific aspiration of show me where I was less than. Okay, as less than, you didn't know. You didn't know you failed. And now we may not convince you that you've fallen, but yet we will help you in the process of retrieving the knowing that brings you back into your power. See, we don't want to prove our power. We want to bring you into your power. And once we do that, then you don't have to know. You'll just know. Your body will change, and you won't have to have someone else's validation, because if you're depending on our validation that says you're ascended, you may not make it. So don't listen to us. Don't listen to us. But you can take our words and compare it to yourself. I was here and now I'm not. And base
okay.
your own judgment from that.
Right. Ion, is there anything else that Scott was improved, canceled in his body besides the hernia?
His hearing is improved in his left ear.
Is Scott happier? And did he get his present job because the drops loosened him up, relaxed him?
We don't want to make it be about that, because the next thing you know, it'll be something else, something else, something else. No, he fell down and bumped his head, and they gave him the job because they felt sorry for him. Is that better? It was a,
yeah,
it was a
better,
pity fuck. It was a pity fuck. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy
any
it. It was good.
Any sane person would not want to have Scott's job, but Scott is happy as a pig in shit, right? For some purpose.
It is good. And it's delightful. And the good news is that you don't even push against it, Scott. So that's good. Ain't nobody hurt here. Everything is fine. And if you don't need validation, just be happy and live a good life. And that's how you get over all this stuff, is get happy. And stop complaining about all the things that may or not or over and under and everything around it to itself. Because not everyone else cares. A lot of people are busy being happy, and if you get busy being happy, you won't have to notice what's not happy.
Ion, did you hear Bill? I got to find out where that noise come from, but Bill still
the
thinks
bird,
that you did not fucking knock out Turbo Bridge. Is there anything you would care to add to, quote, prove that you did?
No, we're not.
It's unprovable.
How is it unprovable? Turbo Bridge went down. Bill went down, and yet his show went on. Oh, no.
Yeah, and Bill
didn't
has what he refers
go, so
to as a prosaic explanation of the what technology failed and why, how it was troubleshooted, how it was resolved by people, engineers and technicians with boots on the ground who solved the problem and got it back going again. And then to say, well, Ion did it, explains nothing.
Okay. Groups on the ground wouldn't have scheduled the update then, would it?
Bill said they scheduled the update because there's not usually a lot going on Saturday night, and so that's when they tend to schedule it.
So that information should have been shared in advance?
Well, maybe it was, but they didn't expect it to go wrong.
It wasn't shared in advance. That's a good point Ian makes. I'm assuming Bill did not get an email, and those companies always tell you ahead of time.
They'll tell you if they're going to be down for maintenance, but not if they're going to be doing routine maintenance. They're not expecting to bring the system down, but something fails.
Well, then there's your trouble, eh?
Yeah, I don't know what that point was you
we
just made.
We don't know where we made that. I don't know what the... Somebody made a point there. I don't know who did it. Somebody made a point. I'm with Ion. I've seen what Ion can do. I know that he fucking knocked it out. I find it interesting to hear people's rules about how it couldn't be and how they argue it. But there was a lot of flipping back and forth for a couple of fucking hours. Now, Bill, how do you explain that flipping off and on? Right, Ion? You were doing that. You were flipping us on, off, flipping
up. And then they were over, and then they were back, and then they were down, and then they weren't. And Bill comes on and says,
half the crew is on the other line, and they don't know they're there. Okay, let me bring them over. I'll patch them through. And it's kind of almost like, beam me up, Scotty. And we're like, okay, Bill, start the recording on this line because we're moving on. While they're catching up, we're moving on. We had things to do.
Bill gave a perfectly acceptable explanation as to why that happened.
Not the flipping back and forth. Even Bill was impressed with the chaos of it. And it went on for hours after. I don't know what that meant, but it sure looked weird. And I can see Ion doing it. And then it stopped. Ion stopped it. And then it started up again later. Ion, is that what you were doing? You were flipping it on and off? Could you explain in layman terms how that company was not doing that?
Why would Ion want to take credit for it if he didn't do it? That's what makes me question all of this.
Yeah, why are you lying? Why are you trying to take credit for it?
Well, we were reading in the Wikipedia, Bob, and the Wikipedia said we were prone to such things as this, and so we can't argue with the cloud.
So
it's in the Wikipedia.
Why are you so defensive about being accused of reading the Wikipedia when people apparently found Wikipedia article we're reaching
from? Defensive. He's not defensive about it. He just pissed off at John's attitude. For some reason... I don't fully know why he was pissed off at John, but Ian does get sensitive on certain issues, and it doesn't really make sense.
We know the deeper ramification, so we know when to pick it, when to pick at it, and when to let it be soft and easy. So,
When
it's the bigger picture, we do know the difference, because we can rag it to the end and make fun and kick on when it's necessary. But otherwise, we can be very sensitive and compassionate and empathetic. We're never sympathetic. But we can be empathetic.
You don't actually take things personally, but that's a strategy, you're saying.
We know. We know how to work it. The strategy is to get you into your power.
John sent me an email today, and it might fill in this point about appreciating Ion or something. So he said, "Hi, Bob. I'm writing this email because I seldom know if I will feel awake enough to call in. I'm usually in bed by 9 p.m. and enjoy sleeping in on weekends. I'd like to point out that I never said Ion was reading from Wikipedia. I described what I experienced. Ion's disembodied voice was in my head, my ear, and simultaneously I was reading from Wikipedia, the eye. When the two synchronized, I went into shock. Now, I don't know when this happened, but it happened before he was on last Saturday. The experience felt spooky. I think my initial reaction was, which sense do I use to validate, and what exactly am I validating? I recall the feeling of disappointment when the question arose, what the fuck is Ion doing reciting known basic concepts? Now, that was John's interpretation. He thought that there was some fuck-up to that. This is not necessarily a fuck-up. Ion quoted Wikipedia. Ion will then say that he actually put the stuff in there and was quoting itself. But John was looking for a trick. What do you call it?
Parlor trick.
He thought there was a parlor trick. A couple of us did. And then within a day or two, he realized it wasn't. So he got depressed. So that's all within his reality. So he felt disappointed. And then he says, at the time of the call, I thought I was getting something new, perhaps exotic. See, he thought a fucking parlor trick was happening, and he wanted that. Consequently, the feeling of novelty was dashed, and that is when I emailed you. He emailed me later in the week, last week. However, studying the numbers, okay, now's another view here. However, studying the numbers, I noticed that the definition of the fundamental unit of charge, i.e. one proton is described as a certain number of negative coulombs, meaning, of course, electrons. So here you have the proton described as so many electrons, implying that positive and negative are interchangeable. Obviously, they are not, and the difference between the two gets into scalars and vectors. I think he's saying the Wikipedia was doing this. I don't know, or maybe saying ion, but it's not clear. So someone wrote stuff that John's thinking is wrong, but John is getting an insight. He says, so here you have the proton described as so many electrons, implying that positive and negative are interchangeable. Obviously, they are not, and the difference between the two gets into scalars and vectors. I'm reminded of Hendiades. Imperfectly, quote, nice and warm, for example, shows nice to be the scalar, the intensity, and that phrase, nice and warm to be the direction, a vector. Warmth doesn't have a physical direction per se, so the example is not perfect, but you get the idea. I would like to ask Ion if Coulomb's law fudges scalars and vectors. Okay? Does it, Ion?
Check the Wikipedia. Under any entry from Roman Spa, that's the one to go with. You don't need that. You got the Googler.
Here's the problem as I perceive it. Force, which is what Coulomb's law describes, is a vector, meaning that not only does it have a strength, there are no dimensions in strength or magnitude, hence the term scalar, but it also has a direction.
No, it doesn't. It has a polarity. It doesn't have a direction. It has a polarity.
Does Roman on the Wikipedia say what you just said?
Nope, not yet. Okay. Give it a minute. We may have to go back a week or so to straighten it out. Don't mind us.
Yet the formula excludes direction when it equates protons, electrons. Now, if anybody's listening to this and doesn't follow it, good. I don't follow. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm just putting the words on the record, and we'll hear Ion's response.
Well, it's just simple math, Bob. It's a simple equation.
Yeah, but I don't have time
to think
about it. I got to think about it longer and take time to figure out who's pitching, who's catching.
We did a simple mathematic equation that transverses polarity.
Right.
Which
but he's going on. So he then says, Ion put me on to Coulomb because the formula directly answers my first question about negative and positive charge, where I basically equated the two. The problem with equating protons and electrons shows up in, quote, general incompatibility, unquote, on Wikipedia's stat Coulomb page. The main differences between stat C and Coulomb's is that stat C includes a dimension not stated in Coulomb's law.
Polarity.
And as well, stat C or stat Coulomb defines the proton in terms of positive Coulombs. It's the reason I went to stat C in response to my questions about positrons. I'm just amazed this guy types all this shit out, man. I never fucking typed this long. But who am I, right? I'm lazy. In stat C, positive and negative charges are not defined as negations of each other and are not interchangeable. Following from that statement, there are no antiparticles. More important than polarity, it seems. Oh, now he's bringing in polarity.
Imagine that.
You just stuck that sentence in there right before I could get to it to read it. It's a dead email, but I think you could do it. More important than polarity, it seems, is the accurate accounting of dimension.
Oh, polarity. Polarity is it.
Because leaving out dimensions causes confusion and ambiguity.
If we didn't have all those damn worlds, it would save a lot of ambiguity.
Okay.
Scott, that's sort of the point. It happens in about a few minutes. What happens is you start trying to get rid of other worlds because you don't understand this one.
So Carol immediately referred to the anomaly when she pointed out to me that general incompatibility on Wikistat C page would be a good topic to pursue with Ion. I would appreciate it if you could thank Carolyn for me till the next opportunity I have to thank her personally. The same type of problem, in quotes, problem is encountered in magnetism, and I'm guessing something similar will emerge with integer spin. In quantum mechanics, integer spin has no dimensions, so the value is treated as a scalar, not a vector. It is a funny scalar, though, since integer spin can be positive or negative. Now, I'm impressed with the fact that Ion can answer these statements immediately. Ion knows what they mean, or at least within the realm of possibility. I don't even know. I'd have to take up to half an hour to figure out what he's saying, what the question is. I wouldn't be able to respond that fast. But Ion can respond fast. Then he goes on to say, Ion uses the term non-physical. Let's say electricity originates with non-physical.
It does.
Okay.
It is
okay.
Non-physical. You don't even know what it is yet.
But that fits my theory, which John likes. Non-physical is for fallen man. When you drop out of the ascended state, you actually develop relationships, and that's electricity. That's exchanging charges. So this agrees with my understanding that non-physical is there to help the fallen man, and that's electricity. Got you. That's good. Now, you might argue a bit with that, Ian, but generally you would agree with me, right? Or you would say, accept what I'm saying is a mind bullshit, right?
Yes, ditto.
Ditto?
Yes.
Let's say electricity originates with non-physical. Something I could have asked Ian as part of my first question. Such a position wouldn't be new. Michael Faraday said as much when he coined the term lines of force. It took Maxwell to give Faraday's non-physical lines of force a mathematical expression, but he had to introduce a fourth dimension to do so. Is the combined work of Maxwell and Faraday the beginning of visualizing non-physical or mathematizing non-physical? Would you agree with that, Ian?
Ooh, now you're taking what somebody thought about, what somebody thought about, what somebody thought about to try to prove goddamn non-physical. Ooh, make it say non-physical is not. We like that better than going through all this. We're not. It's not. You're right. You win.
Yeah.
Little man,
it was,
do it. Do what you do.
It was part of the dark ages that the printing press came in. People started writing down formulas. That's the rabbit hole.
You act as though they're light ages now. They're not very light now. Now all that's happened is everybody got real smart and put all their shit in the clouds. Thank you.
What was the sentence? We were acting as if what was smart? I missed the now.
As if now you're in the light ages and you're not.
Oh,
now,
yeah, we're still in the dark ages. Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You look at just look at the whole sequitur. You're trying to use these different positions to make a position. Okay.
Okay, so Ion, we all know, I didn't go to school, but I've seen enough of it in the American culture. We all know at the age of 13, 14, and as kids starting to get puberty, there's some of them who are fucking ugly, and they don't get fucking laid, or they don't get a girlfriend, so they start doing math, because they're fucking neurotic, and that's the nerd factor, right? All these idiots who didn't get fucking laid or get some kind of emotional exchange going at the time when it's important when you're into puberty, they never get invited to the party, they start fucking hanging around visualizing non-physical and making up math shit, right? Isn't that the general problem here? The
nerd
factor?
It's not nerd. No, it's not nerds. They're geeks now, Bob. It's a geek.
Whatever they are, they're fucking assholes that everybody knows they're not a part of the in crowd, and they get fucked up, and they get lonely, and they get neurotic, and start fucking memorizing math.
Oh, you mean those that frequented the coach house?
Perfect. Many smarter McLuhanites noticed there was not one fucking cool guy around McLuhan. I was the coolest guy, and all the nerds wouldn't have anything to do with me because they were jealous of me, right? It's even going on right now. Anyway, yes.
And you sleep with all their women. They don't like that either.
Oh, that's right. Look at Northrop Frye. He had a wife named Helen, and they were great lovers, and she never had children, and she took care of him and drove the car around, and he didn't drive. Well, we found out she died of dementia. I asked Ian last night, where'd she get her dementia from? From Wyndham Lewis. When Northrop Frye met Lewis before McLuhan did in the early 40s, late 30s, apparently Helen, his wife or girlfriend of the time, had a little secret affair with Wyndham on the side, never got over it, eventually broke her mind and died of dementia, leaving...
No, you don't mean it, Bob. The Bridge Club's going to be hot about this now.
Yeah, the Turbo Bridge Club. So anyways, the fucking nerds, Maxwell and Faraday, are typing themselves into a fucking rabbit hole, visualizing non-physical. So then John says, I don't know. So he's asking, is the combined work of Maxwell and Faraday the beginning of visualizing non-physical? He says, I don't know, and none of this is required for ascension. That's correct. Besides, Ian puts a caveat on conceptualization, warning about rabbit holes. So does McLuhan, and I'm now considering ways to ask questions that enhance perception over conception. Yeah, that's right. Autonomic over mind.
Dr. Dean says you have to have a good prophylactic program in place.
Prophylactic, you mean condoms?
Condoms.
Okay, so he says for John, it's a new orientation for himself to emphasize percept over concept, and one that may keep me silent for a while. I'm not so interested in pursuing scientific questions as a result of the recent engagement with Ian. So he fucking had a breakthrough. Ian is up the ante. Now you up the ante with fermions and integer spin and the like. It would take considerable focus on my part to get up to some kind of speed on quantum mechanics, and to be honest, I feel like I'm chasing diminishing returns. Not only that, but I am said I'm in an indictable position for asking questions that I would already know the answer to if I were ascended. If I were ascended, I likely wouldn't be calling payday, at least not with any questions. Indictment is a strong word. To be formally charged, with a crime. If ignorance is a crime, then I commit it all day, every day. I wish it to be otherwise. In the meantime, I'm wondering if integer spin isn't really a new dimension in disguise.
Well, that's pretty big math, Bob. We'll have to think about that for a little bit. We'll have to see.
Right, okay. Well, I say it isn't. You can't categorize what we're doing with ion. So, Bob,
I have a question based on what he was saying there, and with respect to perception. It's easy for me to think of conceptualization as being a false premise, but what about perception itself? Is perception a false premise?
Yes, based on a bias. If you don't have a bias, you can't perceive. So it depends on the bias, not on the perception.
That's what electricity is a perception. You engage with something outside of yourself, or you engage through what you think is the water you're swimming in. That is a fallen position, because the ascended have no desire and don't fucking engage anything, even though they're very alive.
Well,
go ahead, Scott.
If they have no desire, how do they please and delight themselves?
They become Buddhists.
See, that's where you satirize your audience, and I can't take you literally.
Yes, you can.
Because ion will say, will refer to your eyes are lying to you, or don't trust your lying eyes.
Actually, that was Sue Ellen Ewing and J.R. Ewing. And when she was drinking, and she caught J.R. in bed with his secretary, and he came up and he said, "Sue Ellen, are you going to believe me or those lying eyes of yours?" That's where that came from. And they were at South Park, and she capitulated and fell into his arms and knew that indeed it wasn't his infidelity that was the problem. It was her damned lying eyes.
Again, Aya's main source is television, Scott.
Okay. We got that cleared up.
We're covering some South Park now. Let me tell you how they got it going on.
Southworth?
That was Miss Ellie's maiden name. That's what Southport was named after. She was screwing Digger Barnes, but it didn't make any difference. Jock had the money to save Southport, and that's how he won her hand.
Southport?
Southport,
Would you say that the data that enters the eyeball, that the lie begins there, or that the lie begins in the way that the brain organizes visual data from the eyeball?
Nothing that reaches the rods and cones in the eye are present. They're all past. It's all history. So now it's how you're filing history. So now the lie is how you change your history. That's all.
In other words, it's how you perceive the data coming in through the eye.
Like people with a terrible scar on their face. They look in the mirror, and they see the horrible scar on their face. And they go to the plastic surgeon, and they have it fixed, and that's perfect. They look in the mirror, and they still see the scar on their face.
Because they can't cleanse themselves of the memory or of the way that they...
That's the way their lying eyes see it.
The mechanics of the eye are not lying. It's the perceiver that's lying to themselves about what their perception is.
So now we're right back where we started with the little man's eyes and an ascending eye.
What's the difference between the eyes and what is this other thing that's a perceiver? You're splitting yourself.
The perceiver interprets the data coming into the... Like, for instance, I think you've said that data coming into the lens of a camera is more objective than what you see through your lying
eye. Okay, yes, we can prove that. Dr. Dean was, we would say... Go to the window and look out the window. And they couldn't see nothing. They'd say, go out the window and look at the window. Go out on the eye. Look. Right there above the palm tree. Right there. Pointing her finger. We told her exactly where to stop and she couldn't see anything. Okay, go get your damn camera and take a picture where we're pointing. No, over a little bit. Over. Right there. Take the picture and there's her damn UFO on the digitized camera and she could see it big as life. that you couldn't see it otherwise.
Oh. Now, is that because the eyeball and the optic nerve were incapable of seeing it, or because the...
That's why they just now found the Santa Maria.
The bias enters into your physical eyes, but the camera is not biased. That's Ian's point.
Do the physical eyes function as accurately as the camera does?
They're more accurate. They're more actually more accurate.
Which is more accurate, our fucking eyes or the camera?
The eyes are more accurate, but that's not the problem. She filters it through her mind. That's why the Indians couldn't see the Nina, the Pen, and the Santa Maria, because they'd never seen one before, so it was invisible to them.
Well, what occurred to me when you talked about the camera seeing the UFO, the Pinto and the, you know, was technology, but it was pretty close to nature. The UFO is pure technology. So was it that the camera could see it because the camera is technology looking at itself, or that the eyeball could see it, but the perceiver occluded it from their perception?
Thermions and the Higgs would answer that question.
Was the camera more capable of viewing the UFO than the eyeball for any mechanical reasons?
No, it was not. The eyeball was superior. Here's the difference. Okay. The mind trusted the digitized version more than the eyeball.
And why is that?
Because the data in the cloud is unquestioned. It's unquestioned. You watch a YouTube and you think it's gospel.
You said
that the mind believes the camera more than its own eyes. Is that what you just said?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It doesn't question digitized versions. I saw it. You can see it.
Well,
too.
That's because that's McLuhan's point. The medium is the message. It's a new technology. It's a novelty. We tend to want that because we have a problem with our own senses. We never got it together with our senses. So then we like the distraction of a new medium.
By the time you see the image, what your eye is looking at is a pixelated version on either a screen or a print. It's not that
it's
much
history.
Different.
Yes, yeah. It is very different. It's history. Even your reflection in the mirror is past, because the stance it takes to get to your rods and cones in your eye, that's old time, as far as time goes.
Well, my interaction with you in this moment is history.
Yeah.
Not in the moment. Because we can move it forward to a time that hasn't been yet. That's how you can listen to it later, and we'll answer questions that you didn't even ask today that you had then. That's your future. See, it's like dealing with vectors and gauge particles and half-integer spin.
So I'll just finish with John's statement. He's wondering if integer spin isn't really a new dimension in disguise. Ian said it is not a new dimension in disguise. John N. saying, so Bob, I'm not sure where I'm going with questions, whether or not questions are worth anything. The focus I put into understanding what Ian has talked about so far means that the effort, which strains my brain, doesn't show up anywhere in my life. There isn't anything practical I can point out, and it doesn't have much to do with being happy. Anyway, consider this a status report. That's John. So we thank John for typing that up. Back to anybody in the audience who wants to say something. There's a whole bunch of you here.
Oh, which
okay,
way
go
do
ahead.
I go first? If I go out my front door, which way do I turn?
Left.
Okay. Left. Okay.
Why are you asking that, Sarah?
This is between me and Ian, Bob. I don't need your influence.
You want to be muted, buddy? You fucking want to have a little respect.
No, that's okay. You can mute me. I'll just start walking left.
Yeah.
Okay. Flow Glow, number one. Who is that? Is this Glow from England?
This is Joseph, Flow Glow.
Oh, fuck you, Joseph. No, we don't want to hear anything from you. You want to say something? Make it quick.
Fuck you.
Do you have something to say? Quick.
It's a personal question. For my mother and for my sister, how many drops must they take?
One twice a day, one for a week, and then the next week you do two twice a day. You follow the fucking rules.
Okay.
Later, then they can get a little more flexible if you haven't dropped dead. You know, three, four, fifth week, you're up to three drops twice a day, you know, and then maybe they can put it up to five or six. But everybody should do it carefully at the beginning because you don't know how you're going to react.
Yes, they didn't act good when they took it.
How much did they have?
1, 2.
Yeah, okay, they didn't feel good. Well, tell them to fucking get over it. One drop is okay. If they feel sick, they require that.
Yes,
require
I will insist that they took that they took drops every day.
Right, they did it, and they complained.
Yes, they have some problems with health. But I must talk with them every day about those things.
Yeah, you must babysit them. Ian, do you have some advice for Croatia Man about this issue, these fucking sensitive relatives? Why are these relatives so jittery after one drop? Oh, Ian's gone again. We lost him. Damn.